Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our scripture today comes from John 15, verses 1 to 11. And it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full."
How many of you would like some of that fullness of joy this evening? Let's pray. Father, thank you that in your presence, Psalms promises us that there is fullness of joy. And Lord, in such a tumultuous time and era that we are living in, Lord, there's a desperation for that joy. We pray that your joy would be evident this evening. We ask, Holy Spirit, for your anointing upon your word. I want to move out of the way that we hear directly from the throne room of our King Jesus. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen. All right. For those of you who haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane, and we have two locations, one in Central, which met this morning in Kopparu, and then here at Logan. And as I say every week, Logan is where it's at, right? Can I get an amen, somebody? All right, so we're glad you're joining us here tonight, here on location and, of course, online. And we're in the series called Abide. We're in the series with our spiritual family across the world. Actually, all of us are going through this series because as Every Nation, we hold high value in the Word of God. And so this series, Abide, is all about discovering the theme of abiding throughout the book of John, the power and the beauty of God's Word. And so the title of my message today is The Word Bears Fruit. Everybody say, The Word Bears Fruit. How many of you like fruits and vegetables? Yeah? That's all of us. Such a healthy bunch, right, Raywin? Such a healthy bunch. I love that. Fried potatoes does not count. All right. The first verse of what Steph just read reads like this. "I am the true vine." This is Jesus talking. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Other translations say, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Now, this draws immediate allegory towards God himself being the one who plants the seed and his seed being the seed of heaven into the earth. So he is the vine dresser. I like the term vine dresser because vine dressing doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily a term that we use today, right? When's the last time you heard somebody say, "I'm a vine dresser"? What's your job? You know, what's your job, Bronte? What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a vine dresser. That's not something that you would normally say, right? But the vine dresser, it speaks of how the vine is groomed, right? And this is important because vines, obviously, what Jesus is responding to here are fruit that grows on a vine. And so vines are different from trees in some senses. And I'll be talking a little bit about how fruit grows, referencing trees. But we want to take note of this thing of the vine. So he's the vine dresser. Our Father is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. Other terms might be used as he's the farmer. And he plants the kingdom of God in his seed. So he takes the seed of heaven and plants it into the earth. And from the seed comes the vine. So the fullness of God's DNA is deposited, is in Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. He's the seed of heaven sent into the earth. And literally, if you know the story of Jesus, he would lay his life down into the ground. He would be buried for 3 days and bring forth the fruit of heaven, which is us and our salvation. He is the vine. But notice that the passage also doesn't just say that Jesus is the vine, but it says that Jesus is the what? The true vine. Meaning that there are other false vines out there. False vines that we can often attach ourselves to and think that they might draw, we might be able to draw sustenance from them and help us to grow in the manner that bears the sort of fruit that looks like the fruit of heaven. Now here's the caveat to all of that. Matthew chapter 7, towards the end of the chapter, it talks about how we have to beware of false prophets. And then Jesus is talking here to the crowd that's gathered around the mountain, where he talks to them about be aware of false prophets, because they will say that one thing, but actually live in a different way. But what he says is they are like trees that are bad, but they bear good fruit. It's impossible, right? A good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. For instance, if you are a banana tree, you don't bear oranges. For those of you who didn't know that, right? Just in case you were wondering. I'm not much of a gardener, but I know that for a fact, right? You don't go to a coconut tree and look up and you find, like, I don't know, tomatoes, right? Because tomatoes, firstly, they don't grow on trees, they grow on vines. So just in case you didn't know that either. But that's really important for us to understand that if you are a certain type of tree, the fruit that will be born is dependent on the seed that is planted. Are you all with me? All right. So the scripture carries on like this, and it says, every branch in me, Jesus talking again, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Let me read that one more time. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, have you noticed something here? How many of you would like to bear fruit in your life? We'll talk about what fruit looks like. Okay, we've got seven of us. Seven, seven, can I get eight? Can I get eight? Nine, sold to the man sitting next to his pregnant wife. All right, think about this for a moment. If you don't bear fruit, you'll get cut and taken away. If you do want to bear more fruit, you'll get pruned, you'll get cut, in order that you may bear more fruit. What the scripture is basically saying is, either way, you're going to get cut, right? That's not, so this is the reason why John 15:2 is not on your refrigerator right next to Philippians 4:13. You know, like we all like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We like that verse. We stand on that promise. But you don't put this one up there because that promises that you're going to get cut. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Hey, praise the Lord, we're going to get cut. But there's a difference, right? Some of you look like, I don't speak that over your life. Well, I'm sorry, because what the Bible is promising us here is that either way, we will be cut. We'll either be cut off and taken away, or we'll be cut so that we can bear more fruit. What do I mean by this? Life and circumstances will help to prune us. In fact, I really believe, because some of us may have the question, if God is good, why are we in a pandemic? I believe that the pandemic is also an opportunity for us to be pruned, for us to be refined in order that we may bear more fruit. In fact, this is a great time to bring the hope of Christ to the world. But he wants to prune us first. He wants to see what we're relying on, what our vine is that we abide towards, in order that we bear that sort of fruit. So we're put to this place of testing, right? Let's look at what happens in verse 6. We'll jump ahead. Verse 6 says this, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So if we do not remain in him, to abide means to live in. If you were to talk to somebody who's older and they welcome you into their home, they'll say, welcome to my humble abode. Have any of you heard that before? A place that is an abode is a place that you abide in. You live in it. See, Jesus doesn't want you to just visit. He wants to live in you, and he wants you to live in him. That's the difference. The God of Sunday morning and Sunday night is the God of Saturday night and Friday night. He wants you to remain and to abide in him. So every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. The Greek word there refers to purification or cleaning. He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Let me ask you this question. Right on the screen there, you'll see, have you ever been through a hard experience that you are thankful you went through now looking back? Let me say this question again. Have you ever been through a hard experience that you are thankful you went through now looking back? Any of you can remember a situation that it was hard and you were wondering, God, where are you? God, why aren't you answering the prayer that I prayed the way I want you to answer it? How many of you are thankful that God didn't answer the prayer that you prayed 10 years ago because you wanted it a certain way? Remember when you were 17 and you thought he was the one? Remember? Now, some of y'all don't want to admit that. Like, you thought, God, if he's not the one, take this feeling away from my heart. You prayed that prayer, right? Take this feeling away from my heart. God's like, it's kind of hard when you keep looking at him on your phone every day. Take this feeling away because I don't want this feeling anymore. Then stop listening to those slow jams all the time, trying to meditate on who he is, you know? And you thought, oh, he's got to be the one. How many of you are thankful? 10 years later, you look back and like, man, I'm thankful he did not answer that prayer. Can I get an amen, somebody? See, all these older people, all my Ian youth, pays to pay attention. Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayer because he knows that's not what's best for you. And it's a hard experience, things of the heart. We pray, God, why isn't my career going the way I want it to go? Why isn't my plan going the way I want it to? And God says, my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. If you just abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And this is a part of the process that God brings us through. Now, again, with my extensive knowledge of growing grapes and fruit. I'm just kidding. I don't know a thing about gardening and all this sort of stuff. But here, I've explained things scientifically on the slide here so you can identify the different facets of growing grapes. You see the thing in the middle there? That's a bunch of what we call fruit, for those of you who didn't know. And those things on the side there, they're called branches. Everybody say branches. Isn't that amazing? The revelation. That's the scientific name for it. It's called branches. That's right. And then there's a thing. Okay, this one's for real. There's a thing called guide wire that you'll often see in a vineyard. Any of you been to a vineyard before? And you've seen like a guide wire that helps the vine to grow within a certain shape. And this guide wire, like my dad used to grow tomatoes in our backyard, and he would use a wooden frame called a trellis in order that the vine that the tomatoes are attached to would spread out and make more room so that the leaves wouldn't overshadow certain parts of the tomato plant, so that the elements like the sun and the wind and the rain would hit all the parts of the plant, and it would be able to experience, like the great theologian Nacho Libre once said, the nutrients. It was experience the nutrients. See, this is the power. This is all my extensive knowledge of gardening. And so what ends up happening, right? If the leaves and the foliage of the tree it's not extended out, what can happen is certain parts of the branches aren't exposed to the elements. Now I have this quote from winemaker.com, and they were talking about the way that they grow the grapes, and this is what they talk about when they are giving reason for that why the guide wire exists. We'd like to configure our grapevine such that the fruit is somewhat exposed to the sun and wind. We don't want too many leaves creating a canopy that is thick and crowded, creating pockets that trap moisture. An open canopy, so you can imagine, like the open canopy of all these leaves stretched out, facilitates fruit ripening by sun exposure, drying of the grapes, and leaves quickly after a rain or dew event, and allows good pest control coverage on the fruit and leaves, as opposed to just spraying on the surface of the canopy. That's from winemakermag.com. So there's a stretching that happens with the vine, so that the leaves, and there's an exposure to the both the fruit and the leaves and the branches, so that they can all experience the elements and begin to grow from the nutrients that are provided there. And so as we continue here in John 15, verse 3 says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Here's that word again, verse 4. "Abide in me," Jesus is saying, "remain in me, live in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now here's the thing. If we remain in him, there is going to be a cutting, there is going to be a stretching, but it's going to be good for you. See, this is the sort of promise that you don't hear in the happy-go-lucky church, you know. What church do you go to? I go to the happy-go-lucky church, you know, where we're just happy and lucky. You know, hopefully everything goes well. Well, I'm here to tell you the truth. We serve a Savior that experienced cutting, like literally cutting. He was crucified for us. And he says that if you're to follow me, you will have everything you need if you allow me to stretch you so that you will bear more fruit. I knew I wouldn't get an amen on that point. That's all right. That's all right. Hopefully you'll be encouraged by this. Because many of us, look up at me really quickly. And for those of you who are online, many of us are going through circumstances right now and we don't know why we have to go through what we're going through. I'm here to tell you today, it's part of the cutting, it's part of the stretching, it's part of the process that he's bringing you through so that you may bear more fruit. See, there's two types of awkward or hard circumstances. There's the hard circumstances that are the stretching and the cutting, and then there's the hard circumstances that are a part of the fruit of being attached to the wrong vine. You've got to understand the difference between the two. It says, "I am the vine." Everybody say, "I am the vine." So Jesus is saying, he is the vine, okay? He is the source of nutrients for every part of the plant, of the vine, of what grows on the vine. So without being attached to him, you don't have sustenance. He is the vine, and we are the branches. Turn to somebody, encourage them. You are a branch. You're a beautiful branch. "Whoever abides in me, and I in him or her," notice this, right? If you live in me, and I live in you, it's both ways. His desire is to always live in you. It's just a matter of whether you want to live in him. He it is that bears much fruit, or she it is that bears much fruit. Here's the wake-up call for what? Read it with me, everybody. "For apart from me, you can do what? Absolutely nothing." In Chinese, mayo. In Tagalog, wala, di ba? In Samoan, liay smea. Nothing. You can't do anything without him. See, living unattached from Jesus is basically breathing to death. Have you ever seen a branch detached from the vine trying to live? And that's the way many of us live our Christianity. We say, "Well, I look like the vine, so I must be the vine," you know? No, you're detached. You're detached from him. So to live unattached from the vine is basically to say, "Yeah, I come from him. I come from God. Don't you see the way I look? I dress the part, I look the part, I act the part, but you over there, and we're over here, connected to the vine." See, your life will be unfulfilled. And fulfillment is only momentary, right? There's no growth. And every time you're challenged, you either get offended or you refuse to attach, to stay attached to God. See, the testing of your faith is when actually you go through hardship, through those hard times. Let's carry on here. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit." Everybody say much fruit. Like his desire is for you to bear a lot of fruit. "And so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Now, if you read the first verse that's on that slide, if you look at it really quickly, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." That's the gospel. It's not Aladdin. Because many of us will jump towards, "Oh, there's wishing in the Bible. Ooh, we can wish for anything we want." The key is the first five words of that scripture. It says, "If you abide in me." That's the key. If you're one of those branches that's way over there, not attached to the vine, you can't do jack. Apart from him, you can do nothing. But if you abide in him, if you live in him and him in you, you can wish for whatever you want and it will be done. Because guess what? Your desires are his because you're attached to the vine. Another way to put it, Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. Now that's kind of cyclical because you got to understand this, right? If you delight in Jesus, the things that you want are the things that he wants anyway. And so now he has the vessel of you, like 1 Corinthians talks about, or 2 Corinthians, sorry. We are jars of clay that he can express his will through. He wants to do that. So it's not a matter of wishing, right? Oh, if I get my Bible and I rub it really hard, then somehow Jesus is going to come out of my Bible like a big, fat, purple guy, and he's going to go, what do you wish for? Oh, I can show you the world. You ain't never had a friend like me. Like, that's not what Jesus is about. He is not here to fulfill your wish by yourself. He wants to fulfill his will in you. And so when you abide in him, your desires become his desires anyway. Are you with me? Like, the things that you want are the things that he wants. Your desires are the things he desires. The things you like and love are the things that he likes and loves. The things that you that he hates are the things that you begin to hate. The issue is, if we're cast over there, we begin to like other stuff. Right? There's a difference between love and lust. See, what we're going to look at here is the emergence of this theme of love being the fruit. And love is love because it's given away. Love isn't love unless it's given away. Lust is taking. It's always about taking, but you'll never be satisfied because you never get enough. Are you all with me? So it's about abiding in him, remaining in him, living in him. And I know it's tough because there's so many things vying for our attention. Like if you were to go down to Woolies over here in Chatswood, right? You go to Woolies and then you walk past the magazine stand and you look at the magazine stand and what you have there are windows towards idolatry. Right? You got the travel magazine that says, you know what? Forget the Sunshine Coast. It's all about going to the Bahamas, right? And you start hearing that Beach Boys song when you see the magazine. Everybody knows way back to Kokomo. And you're like, oh, wow, I'm not going to be fulfilled unless I go to that place. Then next to that is the fitness magazine, right? And the fitness magazine says, you won't be satisfied unless you have 20 abs like me, right? And you look at the six-pack, you look at your family pack, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm never going to be fulfilled unless I have the six-pack. And then right next to that is the fashion magazine. Right next to that is the models magazine. Right next to that is the music magazine. Like, for us as musicians, one of the worst things you can do is have a pile of magazines that are full of gear, right? And you're like, oh, I'm not going to be fulfilled unless I have that new guitar or that new piece of gear. Or you look at a tech magazine, and the tech magazine is going, oh, you've got an iPhone 7, but have you seen the iPhone 20? It's come out like it can make coffee for you. And you're like, I'm not going to be fulfilled unless I have this, that. And it just, new issues come out every month. And you feel like you're not fulfilled unless you have those things. But if you abide in the vine, you'll be fully satisfied. That's what God's trying to show us tonight. Is he wants us to abide in him, to live in him, to remain in him. Because the world will pull you away, will pull your attention away. Have you noticed that the more you isolate, the more depressed you become, the more anxious you become, the more unfulfilled you become, the more dissatisfied you become? There's nothing like the presence of God and abiding in him. So what is fruit? Because we're starting to talk about this fruit now. Because many of us put our hands up and we're like, yeah, I want to bear fruit. What is fruit? I don't know, but he put his hand up and I think I should put mine up too because I want to bear some fruit. Fruit sounds delicious, and I'm glad you want to bear fruit, but it's good to know what kind of fruit you want to bear. And let's look at this really quickly. John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Note this, there's no way you can know how to love people properly unless you've experienced the love of God. Otherwise, your models for loving one another will be based on marketing or imperfect models of what love looks like. Like you say it's love, but what's it based on? You won't know the true meaning of love unless you're attached or abiding in the vine, who is the source of love. If you can imagine, love is like the sap of which gives the nutrients towards the branches so that the branches have enough to bear more fruit. Again, it's all about giving. Understand this too. Have you ever seen a vine full of grapes eating its own grapes? Like it bears grapes and goes, you know what, those look pretty good. Because the whole point of fruit is for the consumption of others. That others through your life will taste and see that the vine is good. Ooh, he's connected to the vine. She's connected to the vine. I can tell there's some fruit. There's something different about that person there. There's something different. I don't know. They're joyful all the time. They're full of life all the time. There's something different. What is it? And then the closer you get to know them, you feel loved. Have you ever been around a person and they just make you feel loved and they make you just feel like, man, I love being around that person. Why? Because you're tasting the fruit of that love. That's what happens in that sort of situation. Any of you been around a certain person and you feel like, wow, I feel really loved? Or maybe it's joyful, right? You're around certain people and there's something about being in their presence. You're like, man, I feel full of joy. I mean, there's people in here that I'm like, man, every time I get around them, I just feel full of joy. My sister Odeng over there, like, I love being around her. She's always got a smile on her face. She's always going, hello, pastor. It's so good to see you. And she's always dancing. She's always the most vibrant person in worship. I love being around Odeng. I love her because the joy of the Lord is her strength. And I know, like, I might ask her, like, how's everything going? And she will say with a smile on her face, oh, it's been a hard week. But praise the Lord. You know, I love being around people like that. You know? People that express the fruit of the Spirit. So, you know, in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it's singular. If you actually look in the Greek, it's funny because most people say, okay, love is a fruit, joy is a fruit, peace is a fruit, patience is a fruit. No, they're all a part of the same fruit. Have you ever eaten a fruit and then asked somebody to describe it? Especially somebody who's like, got like a food network sort of vocabulary and they chew on it. I love the way, like, people on, have you ever watched like those cooking shows or Food Network? I do. I watch them all the time. It's bad for my health. But, you know, when they, like, if I tasted something, I'd go, nice. But the way they describe it, it's like a vocabulary that's so expansive in terms of the way they describe the taste. It's got a wood pine flavoring that's evoked by the smokiness of the 17th century Merlot that burrows itself underneath the wood grains and finds its way succulently up through the steak and into the. I'm like, I was just going to say it tastes good. That's the way that Paul is describing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is Paul, he's going, it's the succulent love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law, there's no restriction. You can't love too much. You can't have too much joy. You can't be too faithful. I can't go up to Henry and go, hey, stop being faithful, man, that's too much. No, there's no limit, there's no law to how faithful you can be. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There it is again. Fruit. Pain. You notice that? Where in John, Jesus is talking about, you want to bear more fruit? I'm going to give you grace to be stretched so that all the elements you will be exposed to in order to bring more growth, that you will yearn for my nutrients and what I can bring you. Remember, it's how connected a branch is to the stem or the trunk of a tree that determines how it will ride out any storm or any wind or any form of natural punishment that a tree may experience, that a vine may experience. I'm going to kind of wind this up here by just talking about the fruit being the fruit of love, that you never see a vine or a tree eating its own fruit, but you also never see a tree or a vine or a branch going, I need more fruit. It's never straining. It just is connected to the vine. And many of us live out our lives that way, where we try hard in our own effort to bear more fruit, when God is saying, no, just abide in me, remain in me, stay connected to me in prayer and in my word. Look, relationships take effort. And Jesus has made every effort for us to enter into that relationship through laying his life down. And he also invites you and I to into that relationship. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. So it's interesting to talk about fruitfulness in this way. Fruitfulness being described as somebody being willing to lay their lives down for others. I'm going to end with this verse here. This is a verse from the chapter that comes before this chapter we just read. John chapter 14, verse 15 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'll read that one more time. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, how many of us, you don't have to put your hands up, how many of us would read that verse and think to ourselves, okay, to prove my love towards God, I have to keep his commandments. How many of you would read it that way? You don't have to put your hands up. I'm here to propose to you, after all that we've studied and read, after hearing the heart of God, that that's not the right way to read it. The right way to read it is this. If you fall head over heels in love with me, Jesus speaking, fall head over heels in love with Jesus, you will naturally keep my commandments. Let me say that one more time. If you fall so insatiably in love with Jesus and his presence and who he is, if you love Jesus, you will naturally obey his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome at that stage. They become your delight and not just your duty. If you learn to love him with such a strength of intimacy, understanding that his process is what's best for you for all things, Romans 8:28, work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He's stretching many of us out in order that we may bear more fruit. And sure, there's some screaming amidst the stretching and the cutting, and many of us are trying and refusing to rest in his grace. But if we learn to just rest in the process, he will prune us and enable us to bear more fruit. I'm reminded also of Job, who experienced extreme loss, lost his family, lost all of his wealth and belongings, lost his power and position. And in Job chapter 1, verse 21, after losing everything, he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I'll end it here just by asking this question, but understanding that when we're talking about the fruit that Jesus was addressing, right? The fruit was that which was required to make wine. And so when we're talking about fruit in this sense, it's to be enjoyed by others, but it requires going through a process of crushing in order that the juices may be consumed by others, that others may taste and see that he's good. Isn't that powerful? When we begin to consider that what he's drawing from here is an analogy that would be furthered through the final meal that he would have with his disciples. That in the pressing and crushing of the fruit of our lives, others will be able to taste and see, like Psalm says, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know about you, but when I taste, I don't see. I taste and I taste. But the sort of revelation that happens when people are able to taste the power of Jesus and what he's done on the cross, it illuminates our eyes and we're able to see. And that's why it's all about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. But people won't be able to taste and see that the Lord is good unless we are the ones who bear the fruit in this time. Whether you know it or not, Jesus in the flesh right now historically is not on earth. He is an operation through his church. We are the body of Christ called to bear fruit in order that others may find the joy that can be found in him. He was crushed in order that we might be able to endure crushing. And this is the difference between Jesus Christ and any other religious leader. The religious leaders will take their positions. Jesus gave his position up. Others may teach, but he was crushed. Others may say, oh, look, if you obey these commandments, then you will be able to attain some form of whatever it is that would lead you into eternity or nirvana or some form of enlightenment. What Jesus says basically is, no, I will pay the price. I'm not only a teacher, but I am the living word, and I will be crushed in order that we may be the ones who bear the fruit. So here's my question for us tonight. Will you put your trust in God and his pruning that you might live a fruitful life? In answering that question, I ask you another further question. Are there parts of your life that you sense him saying, look, if I can trim this out of my life, then I will be able to bear fruit? Are there parts of our lives that God's saying, if you let me prune that out of your life, it's going to be amazing what will happen if you trust me? John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give us life and life to the full. Can you turn to somebody, tell them, get a life? In a nice way, just tell them, get a life. That's awesome. For those of you who are watching online, I'm going to pray in just a moment. For all of us here, I'm going to pray in just a second that we would learn to surrender our lives to him and just trust that he is taking us through the process. Like I said at the top, either way, we're going to be cut. But I'd much rather allow for God, who is the source of life, the vine dresser, to have his way in me tonight. So I'm going to invite us, just bow our heads and just close our eyes. And if any of you are here today and you would say, man, I want to trust God with my life. I want to trust him with the process of pruning that he's taking me through. That's you today. Just with every head bowed, every eye closed, can you just lift your hands and surrender? Because I want to pray for you specifically today. Awesome. Keep your hands lifted. Father, I pray for these ones who have their hands lifted. Lord, we submit every part of our lives, the pruning, the pressing, the crushing, the stretching. Lord, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, I thank you for your grace that is sufficient to be able to endure through this process. Father, I know that your hand is always upon us, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the one who began the good work in us and is faithful to complete it. God, I know when you start things, you always finish them. Lord, I know that we live in a fast internet, fast food, fast car, fast life sort of situation. God, teach us to bear the fruit of patience, to be able to endure the situations that you bring us through in order that we may bear more fruit. And show us, Lord God, your ways. Father, we press into your presence. We submit and surrender our circumstances that you would have your way in us. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we take a moment to discuss this, and we'll see you on the other side of this. We'll get into a time of worship in just a moment. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.